it's like you don't have to wait 6 months for it to go to, like, you know, VHS and then go get it at Blockbuster. Yeah. And then you go to get it at Blockbuster and they only have 3 copies and then all the copies are out. And
in a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, Ted.
Oh, Jimmy.
I could have gone a lot longer, but I figured I'd spare everybody.
You have the lungs for it. I am always excited to see how you're going to say hello to me every week.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. I was listening to some new podcasts this week, trying to see some, you know, just, I always once in a while dabble in new stuff. And there was this one, I don't even remember the name of it. It's like, they talk about some, like, should men eat soy? And they throw out their opinion. And then they'll talk to some, like, expert who says, like, gives you the facts.
There's too much estrogen in soy.
Right. So what they'll do is they'll talk about, or anything, right? They'll talk about, like, right, what the common belief is. And then they're like, all right, let's turn to the expert, you know? But what they did, cool, though, was they spent, like, the first 20 minutes just bantering about, like, their nonsense. And I'm like, get to the topic already. And then I'm like, oh, oops, this is probably what our listeners feel like.
Pot, kettle, we're all black. Yes,
it was so fun. I'm like, what are they doing? You know, and then I'm finally like, oh boy, I get it. Sure. So with that, how about you get into your beer? I'll get into mine, and then we'll get into everything. And because I got a kind of a bigger beer this week, I'm going to share with Clarissa.
Okay, cool. So I have the last of the 12 days of beer because remember I had the double, and this is the
So you had 24 days of beer.
I had 24 days of beer, but I could doubled some of them up. This is a saison. Is that how you said that? Right.
Oh, I like saisons. Yeah, like farmhouse ales.
This is exactly a Belgian farmhouse ale.
Perfect. I love those.
And it was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And you know what I found out? I'm not a big Belgian guy, and I'm hesitant to say that to you, but here, I'll crack this open.
Yeah, we had earlier tonight, we had a Chimay Grown Reserve.
Oh, Chimays are awesome. I don't mind Chimays.
But I sent you that article about if you drink more Belgian ales, it'll help your gut biome to lose weight.
I don't believe that.
You know what? What I say is, sure. If you have, like, I don't know, 4 ounces, that little bit of bacteria is going to help. But who stops there? Right? Like, the 5 other beers you have counteract any weight loss activity you're possibly going to get out of that. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. So this week, I feel like I've had this before on the show, but maybe I've just had it before, and I'm not even sure. Lazy Eye. And when I'm done with it, I'll probably have a Lazy Eye. But it's 8.5%. It's a double IPA from M Special.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And M Special, I believe, is out of Goleta, California, right? Here I go again. Well, I can't even.
You need reading glasses.
I do. You know what's funny? I was at a meeting the other day, and somebody had asked me to read something, and I'm like, I can't see it. I'm at that age. And then, like, some old dude, he hands me, he's like, these are 1.5s. Would you like them? I'm like, sure.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm there, man. I'm there.
I'm to the point now at restaurants, I'll just hand the menu to the kids.
Oh, yeah, I've done
here,
that.
Here, Andrew, read it.
Not to the kids, but I'm like, Clarissa, tell me what's on this. Any tasting notes really quick? You said you had this before and it's your favorite.
I've had this before. I did. That's my favorite of all the Belgians that were in the boxes. The saison, you know. I don't. So do you know any of the history of the farmhouse ale saison?
I do not.
It's like a fruity. It's like,
yeah, they're very they're like, if you think about, like, the Trappist ales, they're along that line. You know that
they're brighter. They're brighter and lighter than the Trappist.
Yeah. They're definitely lighter as far as alcohol and so on.
Yeah.
But they're along that line of, like, a mild, like, it's kind of, I think it's the difference between, like, if you have a double IPA, mm-hmm, to an IPA to a pale ale to like a blonde ale.
Right.
They follow like in that lineage, I think, in the Belgian line, if you think about it that way, right?
Okay, okay. And then where does the red, like a red ale, I guess it's right above the blonde, I guess.
Though. Yeah, maybe, but you're also looking like an India pale ale is just the same thing as a pale ale with more hops. Mm. Something like an 805, a blonde ale, would be like a pale ale, but maybe less malt.
Oh, you know what I like about this Saison is that it's dry hopped. Mm. So it's the Saint Fouline, and it's 6.5 ABV, so you kicked my ass with ABV this week.
So you get a lot more on the nose with the dry hopping.
Yeah, exactly. It is, and I think that's the way I enjoy the beer the most, is the...
The floral...
The floral, the aromatic.
Yeah. For sure, that's cool. Yeah, this is, I would say, not dry hopped. It's very, the aroma isn't strong.
I like the color.
It has a deep malt color, and it's one of those, like, solid... Like if you had a Lagunitas IPA, or if you had like a Torpedo from Sierra Nevada, it's kind of like that, but like to 11. You know what I mean? So it's super on the IPA side, but not so much like you're chewing on like grass. It's a solid IPA. I really enjoy this.
Awesome.
So you have a good week. I hear you're going to Disneyland tomorrow.
We're going to Disneyland super early. Audrey has a school trip. She has a really cool orchestra trip she does every year. Well, this is the second year she's done it. They actually go like in the backstage of Disneyland.
Oh, cool.
And in the back there, they get with some of the music producers for Disney movies and Disney films. And I guess there's a mini studio back there, and they get to play their instruments with the music in the background. So they have orchestral arrangements that they set up for the kids so they can do some of orchestral arrangements with the movies playing in the background. Like you see, like the John Williams stuff where they're recording live orchestras for scoring a movie and stuff like that. So that's a lot of fun. They always have a lot of fun doing that. And some of the musical directors at these places have like quite the history of like, I'm the son of, you know, so-and-so, the drummer of, you know, this big band, or, you know what I mean? So it's really fun to hear the stories after the fact, but we're going to go down with her and be on the other side. We'll be on California Adventure for the day. So that's our weekend. And that's why you and I are recording a little early.
Yeah. But,
you know, I think we try to record early. You know, I try to get you in here.
That's it. So have you ever been to Club 33?
I have not been to Club 33.
What? Oh,
no, I have not. It's too rich for my blood.
Yeah. So my cousin Chuck used to work for Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Uh-huh.
And Enterprise, that somehow like they would allow like so many employees to get into Club 33 a year, you know? And
wow, that's cool.
And so he put in for it and got drawn one time, or I don't know exactly how it worked, but it was something like a lottery type of a thing. And so, yeah, me, Clarissa, Chuck, and his sister, Gina, my other cousin, his sister, we went to Club 33, and it's the only place in Disneyland where they serve beer and stuff, you know? And
yeah,
I'll tell you, the food was great. You take this little elevator that takes you up, and such a great experience. I'm glad I got to do that one time.
Yeah, it's amazing. They've actually expanded that, and I had this joke, you know, the cantina. Did I tell you when we went to the cantina?
I don't think so.
So we went to the cantina for Bryce's birthday, and Bryce, we didn't have any tickets. And
where is the cantina first?
The cantina is in Galaxy's Edge, which is the Star Wars land of Disneyland.
Okay, okay.
And the cantina, you can also drink alcohol there.
Ah.
And it's the first part of the, you know, general population park where you can drink.
Yeah.
And and I said to the bartender as we're ordering our drinks, I said, do you know how this whole place you know how they have a whole special power supply for this whole cantina? Because I said, I work for Disney too, you know, like cast member.
Oh, the guy said this.
And whatever you say, I said I'm a cast member. And whatever you tell anybody else.
When you go, you're a cast member?
Well, no, I just tell them that I'm a cast member.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because I'm trying to get a discount on the kids' non-alcoholic drinks.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
but anyway, whenever you say I'm a cast member, their line is,
Ted, you can't say that on the podcast.
I can, because I'm not a representative of Disney. I'm just put the disclaimer out there. Okay,
gotcha. Okay,
but they say to you, they say, where do you make magic? You know what I mean? So. Now, whenever I tell people I'm a cast member, I always say I'm a cast member. I make magic in Burbank.
You know that's amazing.
I mean? Like, I cut them off at the pass.
I make magic.
So I said to the bartender, I said, you know how they power this place? It's a whole new, you know, energy system. And she, you know,
this is a joke.
He was thinking like it's solar panels or something like that. And I said, no, it's powered by Walt Disney rolling over in his grave from the serving alcohol.
Alcohol, right. Yeah. I love that. I love that. I didn't know that's where you were going, but I did see it coming.
You saw a joke, a dad joke.
Oh, that's a dad joke. Sure. Yeah.
How about your week? Did you have a good week?
Yeah, so probably headline of the week is I got into Leadville for the second year in a row, but not without a little controversy.
I know.
So I get in the lottery, and every year it's a lottery to get in. And I come to find, like, we were speculating that it was weighted, you know, like, oh, I'm a finisher. Of course, yeah. I'll get in again, you know, and all this stuff. And I come to find that pretty much unless you've done like 10 years in a row, like it's a lottery.
It's a true like
true lottery. Yeah.
One name in the hat, not NBA, not NBA draft.
Right. So more or less, and I don't know the exact numbers. I mean, obviously I have no affiliate whatsoever with this, but just from podcasts right. and things I've read and interviews I've listened to, it sounds like there's about 10,000 people that enter. They draw about 1,000 and the other 1,600, or I'm sorry, the other 600 or so are through charity slots and qualifying races and all that kind of stuff, right? So what they did was, you know, I put in the lottery and it comes back. It says, thanks for putting in. We're waiting all day. Last year, it was like 10 in the morning. I got it like super early.
Right.
Now it's about 6 o'clock at night. Finally, the email comes across. Thank you for, you know, considering racing the Leadville 100 mountain bike. And we regret that you weren't chosen in the lottery and all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'm out. Maybe it was 5 o'clock or something, and I'm out barbecuing, and my brain's like kind of churning it, and I'm thinking like, all right, well, that kind of changes some plans. That doesn't mean I'm not in because I could still qualify if I race a qualifier and score high, you know, like place high enough and everything.
Right.
So I'm kind of reevaluating while I'm barbecuing, having a beer, and like kind of just contemplating and a little disappointed and all this stuff. About 3 hours later, like 9 o'clock or so, 8:30, something like that, bing, my email goes off. Congratulations, you've made it into the lottery. Uh-huh. Your credit card has been charged. There's nothing else you need to do at this point. So I'm like, what? So right away I email them. I'm like, it said I got in. It said I didn't. Like, am I in or am I not?
Right.
And if I went to the website, it showed pending the credit card charge.
Yeah.
You know, on my credit card, you know, Wells Fargo.
On your statement.
Statement, yeah. So it's like it showed it was pending right away because they charged it.
Yeah.
So about 2 days later, I get an email that said they made an error and there was a number of entrants that didn't get chosen, but their credit cards got charged and they got a congratulation letter or notice, whatever. And that the organizers made some, you know, they called it a human error, but they made an error.
Right.
And they allowed so many people in that they weren't supposed to. And they were debating over those few days what to do.
Yeah.
And they said, well, to make things right, we're going to let you in anyway.
Oh, that's awesome.
On some crazy fluke, I'm in a second year in a row. So since that point, man, I've been obsessed. You know, I'm like, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Clarissa was like, when I found out, because she was like hesitant, like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it. No, that was such a blah, 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 all the commitment. Then when it says we regret to inform you, she goes, oh, my God, I'm so disappointed. I wanted to go. And we got this killer Airbnb in this condo in an old hospital. You know, I mean, the place, it looks awesome. And right in the heart of the town. And it's going to be, yeah, we were, because we were in Copper Mountain, which was like a 40-minute drive north of Leadville.
Oh yeah, the first year you do something like that, you don't know.
You don't know exactly what the hell you're doing.
Things are going, and like, oh yeah, now next time we'll do it much better.
Yeah, so now we got this killer condo right in the heart of the town, and I mean, like, all everything, like, it's so far everything's like coming along swimmingly. So hopefully there's nothing catastrophic that may or may not happen. Well, may not, it would be fine, but that may happen. But yeah, that was the main thing. Is I'm not in, I'm in, I'm confused. What do I do? My credit card says yes, but nobody's getting back to me. And then they finally got back to me a few days
silence,
later. Yeah, the silence is deafening.
I love it because the night that you were, had your confusion, we were having dinner with Frank and Barbara across the street, and I got your first message of, I didn't get in, you know, and I was like commiserating with Frank and Barbara and the family. And then it was like, and then we got the other, then you said your credit card was charged and we don't know what's going on. And like, so we were stuck in that confusion too.
That's hilarious.
Us and your in-laws, and we're all like, well, let's just play some Farkle, because we're not gonna solve this.
No, and I wasn't either. I shot him an email. I'm like, what's going on? Am I in or am I not? Like, I get two conflicting messages, and there's a charge. Like, if you're charging me, I'm in, because I'm gonna go to my bank statement and slap you over the head, and I'm gonna erase this thing. You know. All right, man. So with that, there's been.
Go
ahead.
One other thing. Sorry. So I talked a little bit what we're doing tomorrow, but this week was I guess tomorrow is the actual Chinese New Year, but we celebrated the Year of the Rat yesterday.
Yeah. Timmy's been telling me all about it. He's doing it in school.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's the Year of the Rat.
He's making his lantern tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So we handed out red envelopes in our lobby on Thursday morning. So that was a lot of fun. We got to see a lot of people.
What was in the envelope?
So it's supposed to be money in the envelope, but, you know, it can't hand out money to everybody. So we handed out Geld, you know, chocolate covered coins.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So we put chocolate covered coins, and then we put a little explanation of what the envelope was supposed to represent, you know.
And that's as good as money.
It's as good as money.
Yeah.
But it was funny because then I talked to one of the creative directors who I love to go drinking with, because he loves IPAs, and he has this great place in Burbank to go drinking. We got another spot, Tony's Darts or something like that. I think that's what it's called.
Sure. Yeah.
I'll fact check myself later. But he was like, oh, I'm a tiger. And I was like, oh, I'm a tiger too, right? Year of the Tiger. And then I realized that means that this creative director is 12 years younger than I
am. That's hilarious.
So I got a little depressed for a second. And for some reason, even though he looks younger than me and like is clearly younger than me, like for some reason I had it in my head that he was 12 years older than me. And I was like, oh God,
you know, I look like shit.
No, I said, you're holding up really well. He goes, no, 86, not 68. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, me and Clarissa are both pigs, and she's 12 years younger than me. So there you go. There you go. All right, man. So speaking of being younger and older and all that stuff, So Star Wars.
Yes.
Before we get into the trailer we're going to talk about, with Star Wars, I'm picking up the boys from school, and we get in the bike, and Timmy says to Mikey, when we get home, do you want to play Star Wars? And I said to the boys, and you guys are like me when I was your age. Like, I played Star Wars too, you know, and we talked about all this stuff. And we're currently like just about done with season one of the Clone Wars. And now comes season six, the final season of the Clone Wars.
It might be seven.
Or is it seven?
It's seven.
You know what? Yes.
There's six seasons out. This is season seven.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I think I got confused that we have six and then it's going to be seven, but whatever.
Yes. Yes.
So we're finishing up season one. Timmy asked, when are we going to watch this one, that the trailer, because I showed him. And I said, buddy, we got like five more seasons to go.
Right.
You know, so all that we've been watching, we got to do that five more times before we get to this. And he was, and all of a sudden, I just, like, this grin got so huge. Like,
really?
Yeah, we got a lot more to watch. You know, like, as if it wasn't over yet. You know?
Right.
So what's your thought? I mean, it's been a while since this came out, and now they're bringing out another one.
Yeah, it's a big gap. I think it's another dedication to the Disney Plus streaming service, and I think there's some story to be filled out here. I do, you know, I watched this trailer with Bryce as well. And Bryce is only two seasons into Clone Wars, you know.
Oh, so you guys aren't caught up either then?
No, no, no. And he's been watching the second season pretty much on his own.
Okay.
Since we got Disney Plus. So he doesn't get a lot of opportunity to watch the series on his own. No, we don't set aside time for it.
So
we don't allow too much of the streaming, you know. So
we need to get caught up to Bryce, and then when the boys are together and stuff, we all sit down and watch it, like all of us. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yes. So it'll be easy for you guys to catch up to us because you guys are pretty regimented about it.
We do about an episode a night.
Yeah, that's good. That's solid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. It is Bryce and I's biggest concern when we saw the trailer was like, how do you end this? Where do you end it? You have like the Rogue One quandary where it feels like it has to end at Order 66.
Yeah. And I would also say that, you know, they show the Darth Maul interaction with Anakin's Padawan.
Right.
I think that might be her demise right there.
But we know that, well, I guess you don't know. You haven't seen all of Rebels then, huh?
No, I haven't seen any of Rebels.
Okay. So Rebels, I guess, is...
Does that come out after?
After. I think it's, yeah, chronologically, it's after the Clone Wars in total. Oh,
man, if you were going to start with, well, I guess it would be Phantom Menace and go through to include Rebels and to include this, you know, the Clone Wars, and then all the movies.
And Mandalorian.
Like, if you put all that in there, wow, you got, like, you have a lot of work ahead of you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time. I mean, that's a lot of time.
And it's funny because this kind of sparked, remember when the Mandalorian trailer came out, it kind of sparked my interest to watching Rogue One again and to do that. So when I saw this trailer, it actually sparked my interest in, like, you know, just rooting around for some of the Mandalorian Easter eggs and things like that. And one of the coolest things I heard was... one of the Easter eggs on the prisoner episode, the one with
that was such a great episode
with Bill Burr.
Yeah,
so the guard in the ship, right, the guy with the crazy funny mushroom helmet thing,
sure,
he's in there and he's actually the voice of Anakin from Clone Wars.
Oh, okay.
So he's done 100 episodes of as Anakin Skywalker, making him,
and nobody picks up on it,
making him the most frequently used character in all of the cinematic Star Wars universe, or all of the Star Wars universe.
Is that insane or what?
He's done 100 episodes as Anakin, more than anyone.
That's insane. You know, my biggest complaint, though, I have to say, with the writing, mm-hmm. and this isn't just the Clone Wars, but you see it in The Phantom Menace, and you see it in other, I don't know, other Star Wars and everything, is how the writers... They use the Force when it's convenient to solve all their problems.
Right.
And then it's like the Jedi are idiots when it comes to like other scenarios when they ought to be using the Force and they don't. You know, it's like they do the speed run, and then when they really need the speed run's not there.
Right.
You know, or I don't know. It's just the inconsistent writing just annoys me.
Yeah.
Because you're watching and you're like, well, how did you not sense that? That guy has the Force too. You sense the other guy, but you don't sense this guy. How is that possible?
Right. He masked his
sensing.
His use of the Force.
Yeah. Or it's like, oh, okay. So you threw, with the Force, you threw aside like whatever object it was. But then this other object comes and like hits you in the face.
Right.
Like you had no idea that was coming. I mean, like, come on, you have the Force, man. You know, it's so annoying sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I draw comparisons all the time between, you know, the Star Wars universe and the Marvel universe.
Okay.
And again, we're in the middle of rewatching, and I say we very, very loosely. It's mostly Ami, my mother-in-law, and Bryce watching all the movies, and tonight they're watching Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's so they're exactly diametrically opposed. Like, the Star Wars universe is one line, one family, one story, basically, of the Skywalkers coming up and out and throughout the whole thing. And you kind of have to hang things onto this linear path of this, of these generations of one family. And then in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you have like, you have all these things that are going on in Earth, and then you have these things that are going on, you know, in history. And then you have a galaxy, Peter Quill taking a galaxy away and turned into the Star-Lord, and you know, and they have this other thing, and but then you have to draw them back through the Infinity Stones, and everything's kind of coming together, and it just feels like it's so wide open, and everything, the story just breathes, and you can go anywhere. But when you have a story like Star Wars, and I think that's why I latch on and love Rogue One, is that it deviates from Skywalker. It's not Skywalker at all. And even Solo, because Solo's so ingrained in the original lineage, he might as well be a Skywalker. I mean, he married one and he birthed one. So, you know.
But do you find that along that sentiment, do you find that the J.J. Abrams Star Wars falls in line with how, like, I don't know if it's Disney or the Marvel Studios, about how they, you know, I always go into, in order to save the world, you have to blow up the world, and everything is like trying to be bigger and badder and blow up more explosions. And do you find that, like, as Star Wars is going on, even with this latest one that just is out currently, that it's along the lines of the Marvel Universe insofar as it, they're just trying to make it bigger than any other Star Wars that has been happening in the past and so on?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say so for the first two trilogies. But I think the last trilogy in The Rise of Skywalker to me is just, I don't think it did that. I think the villains in Star Wars are kind of a little thin on why they want what they want, other than Kylo Ren, you know, like.
You mean not, it's not a trade war?
No, they just need a bigger gun every time. It's always about a bigger gun.
Right.
Can we make a bigger gun?
Right.
You know?
All right. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think, you know, I think it's safe to say that season 7, the final season of the Clone Wars, we're going to watch. I mean, the boys are all invested. We like watching it all together as a family every night, you know, after dinner and stuff. And yeah, we're definitely going to watch this.
It'll be Christmas.
Dude, we have all year to get into Star Wars Clone Wars. I mean, by the end of the year, I'm going to be like, oh my God, another episode.
But I do have an award-winning writer-producer that sits in the office next to me, and we talk a lot about Mandalorian, and he's a big fan. But he was telling me, I think he watched a couple of episodes, and he was trying to binge because he had, you know, been off of it for like a month, and then he started watching it again, and he's like, I can't even tell you which episodes I watched. But he said he think he's at that Star Wars fatigue where he's had enough, and
Star Wars fatigue. Yeah.
Yeah. He might be fatigued, you know, he might be out of the system a bit. So I think it. Out of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Coming back home from far, far away.
I can see Star Wars fatigue coming in. I mean, there's a lot of, when you think about it, there's a lot of Star Wars out there.
Yeah.
A lot of movies, a lot of animation, a lot of Legos, Legos, Star Wars on Netflix or whatever. And there is a lot of Star Wars, man, like that you could get buried in.
Yeah.
So with that said, let's talk a little Netflix.
Okay.
And the last thing he wanted.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I thought that the title is like this weird double entendre of like, you see the last thing he wanted. And then by the, you know, this is a Iran-Contra period piece of a reporter getting the bottom of a story. And her dad is a gun runner in Sandinista in, you know, whatever that was, the Nicaragua and all that.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, we were alive at that time. And so it was.
I remember the Ali North trials, man. That was like right in my wheelhouse. I was in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wasn't quite in high school, but I do remember it. And it was kind of amazing. And in the beginning, you think the last thing he wanted was his daughter to find out that he's a gun runner.
Yeah.
You know, or to get caught up in this, you know, and then she's in peril. But by the end of the trailer, is the last thing that he wanted was for her daughter to become like a gun runner? Because it doesn't it feel like she became part of the system and the Ben Affleck Ollie North? Does he play Ollie North?
I was trying to figure that out. I don't think so, but I get the vibe somewhere in there there's an Ollie North character.
He might be like an amalgamation of different characters, including, you know, part of what Ollie North was doing.
Right. That, yeah.
But it was funny to me that, you know, like when he says, who would you hire to find the this and that, you know? And when she gets that caught up in it, it's like, wow, like it's a pretty badass role for Hathaway. And then it kills me that Anne Hathaway is the Academy Award winner, right?
Yes.
Is she the Academy Award winner? And Willem Dafoe's only a nominee? Like, that's crazy to me that he's only been nominated. He hasn't won any yet.
I know, man. That guy's, like, solid, too.
Give him an Oscar already.
Jeez,
please.
That guy's... You know what they'll do? He'll be one of those guys, like, in his 90s. They'll give him, like, a Lifetime Achievement Oscar because they're like, yeah, you know, you never got one, but, like, here's the, you know...
Who is the Susan Lucci?
Maybe.
Remember, what is it? All My Children. She was nominated for, like, 15 years for daytime Emmys, and she never got it, and they finally, like, gave her a Lifetime Achievement Award, and then she won after that, I think.
Yeah, totally.
That's gonna, he deserves it, but yeah.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, the guy's great. Have you ever seen Lord of War?
No, is that the Nick Cage?
Nick Cage, yeah.
I've seen parts of it.
Oh, it's a great one.
Is it good?
It's not about Iran-Contra or anything. It's more about like arms trading around the world. And I would say it's like fiction based on fact.
Right.
So I don't think necessarily like his character or anything that goes on actually happened, but I think all that stuff actually happened.
It's based on various stories.
For sure. Yeah. Like just how arms are traded around the world and so on. And how even if arms dealers get caught, they kind of get let off because the people who are dealing the arms are also the same people that pull the strings and the people who are like hunting down the arms dealers, you know, because like you have to have those people for like optics with the media and all this stuff.
Right.
And then, but when it really does come down to, oh my God, this guy got caught, then here comes the colonel, the general, whatever, like, we're not going to prosecute this guy. He's doing the Lord's work. You know, he's helping thy neighbor, you know?
Well, I mean, that's the same story, talking more about Star Wars. That's the same story as Last Jedi, right? When Benicio del Toro is, when they're on the rich, wealthy casino planet, you know, those are all arms dealers and arms traders.
For sure. And yeah.
They bought and sold TIE fighters and X-Wings. They're not on a side. They're just middlemanning the whole operation.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, and I also got the sense out of the last thing he wanted is that we talk a lot about how Netflix plays into a formula.
Yeah.
And I get the sense in a good way that they've avoided the formula or they've like really disguised the formula. Like you don't get the sense of like the silly humor. I don't know, all the nonsense that they do with the formula that we talk about all the time.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree that it doesn't have a formula feel to it, but I think it fulfills a need, it fills a niche that when you see things like Jack Ryan doing gangbusters over at Amazon.
Okay, so they're going down that like conspiratorial side of things, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they're just like, oh, what do we have that fills this kind of smart political thriller action space, you know, and like how can we throw money at this? Oh, we'll get Hathaway, Rosie Perez, and Ben Affleck,
and Willem Dafoe,
and slam them all in the movie. So I thought that too. I thought it doesn't have the formula, but it does have a formula of actors, and the cast is just so top dollar.
Oh, they've thrown money at it. I mean, that there's no doubt about that. I mean, and I'm sure not only the cast, the production, and
yeah,
it's going to be more than solid. And I think one of the coolest things in the streaming space that we have now is this would be an in-theater movie that you would have expected even a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And now we get this theater quality, like production and cast and acting and just the money that's spent. And it's like the day of release is in your living room.
The day of release, they aren't doing any of this, you know, 3 weeks in theaters and streaming at the same time. They just straight streaming. But guess what? We still have the legacy cards for all of the, you know, the Oscar and Academy Award winning. You know what I mean?
It's like you don't have to wait 6 months for it to go to like, you know, VHS and then go get it at Blockbuster. Yeah. And then you go to get it at Blockbuster and they only have three copies and then all the copies are out and you know, I mean, and then you're waiting weeks on end and oh man, those days, you know, like
I still remember like the first time I got angry at somebody for not having a movie. This is before they guaranteed that they had them, right? And I don't think I think it was Errol's. It wasn't even Blockbuster, but Errol's, the guy behind the counter at Errol's said, you know how much these movies cost us? The VHSs were cost them like hundreds of dollars. They were paying like,
oh, they were so expensive.
$300 when it was, so it was only in rental window. So just think, they would have to rent that thing so many times to make it worth their while.
At like, you know, the $1.75 it would cost or something at the time, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I would say somewhat timely, you know, the Irresistible.
Okay.
Would you say this is time? I mean, like, I feel like it's timely, but I also feel like it's 10 years old.
I feel like it's, yeah, well, timely and timeless.
Oh, okay. That's another way to put it.
You know, I think, so, do you, so, but.
Maybe that's, that, you know what, that's the positive twist. I had the negative twist.
Hey, that's the 3-word review for Irresistible. I'm only going to do it when it happens naturally.
Nice. I like that. I like that.
When it's organic, the 3-word review for Irresistible.
When you get it, just throw it out there. That I meant to do that.
But so it does feel old. It feels like Wag the Dog. Do you remember that movie?
Oh yeah. 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 Totally. It feels like
has
that.
It has that. It has that political, you know, tongue in cheek kind of thing. Literally tongue in cheek.
Oh my God. Okay. So here's the thing. Yeah. Do you think there's a clause in like an actor's contract as per OSHA that states though that like if somebody gets sick when they get licked by another actor that they get like hazard pay or something?
Or you have to wear like a dental dam while you're licking the other actor?
Dental dam. Yeah, I mean, but you're so right though. Tongue in cheek, goggles. Man. Like, I mean, I saw that and my first thought was too on the nose.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. Because her character is what makes it timely. You know what I mean? Like everything else, Steve Carell, you know, finding the Patsy, you know, building up Cooper, you know, it's all very, very typical. And then you throw her in there and all she does is lie the whole time she's on screen. And even when she's being called out for the lies, it's just so ridiculous that nobody even cares that she's lying, you know? So that's what makes it of today.
I also thought what makes it of today, aside from the lying side of it, is you have this good looking blonde woman who could easily be the Fox News person. And yeah, we had all those Fox News movies that came out, you know, the good looking blonde women and all this stuff. And so she's
Bombshell.
Yeah, Bombshell. And she's, you know, just one of those good looking Fox News women. You know what I mean? That is in the media doing whatever it is that they do, and they're on screen because, well, you know, we know what the stories are. So
right.
And that was some of my thought too, is like, is that why she's who she is in this movie?
No, it is a perfect casting. You know, Rose Byrne doesn't have blonde hair, so they either dyed it or wigged her up, but it is great, and she does a great job in the role, and she sticks it to Steve Carell every chance she gets. So I don't know, of all of the political ones, and then on top of that, to have Jon Stewart behind the camera as the writer director.
Yeah, and I feel like this is his show in movie form. Because I mean, isn't this what he did? I mean, it was political satire in a news form, right?
Right, exactly. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's so timely, and the political world, you know, coming into the 2020 election is such a circus. Like, I'd love to watch it. I honestly don't think I can stomach it. No, I'm dead serious when I say that.
You and Anne are in the same boat where Anne can't even like, she can't even look at political things because it just disturbs her so much.
It's so like unnerving.
Yeah.
You know, and like I'll check the news, like I'll go on like, you know, Apple News or something, right? Or whatever it is. And I'll just see some ridiculous story. And I don't even care if it's like Democrat, Republican at this point.
Right.
The stories are so ridiculous. I'm just like, I just have to turn it off because I'm just going to get angry.
Well, it's all about clickbait, right? I mean,
I think that's what it is.
Getting people in to read the story. You know, it used to be news was just news. So you would report the news and if there's a story.
Like sensationalism.
But yeah, but now it's like you have to get to the middle paragraph before you get to the actual root of what the story is trying to say, because it's been layered on top that it needs, you know, we need the click. And then after the click, we need people to, you know, to hit past that paywall. So that first paragraph's free. So we're just going to continue the sensationalism there. And then that faded little rim right there. Like, oh, there's more story there. I got to click on that and burn one of my 5 free or whatever for the month, you know?
Yeah, no, I know. And it's one of those things where you're just like, and I get the sense that this movie is like all feeding in that world.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where, like you said, you'd go to the LA Times or the New York Times or the Washington Post or, you know, whatever it is. And like you said, you only get 3 articles a month or something. And you're just like, oh, my God, do I want to get it? Do I want to even go there? You know, and like you're already annoyed, you know, and by the time you just go down and you read through it, you're like, why did I just waste all that time? I could have been doing something so much more productive.
Like knocking out another episode of Clone Wars or something.
Anything else, you know, and that's where I feel with this movie. And that I don't like on the titillating side of me, like, yeah, I want to watch it because I want to see, like, I want to laugh at the too many black cows in the middle is, you know, racist or something. You know what I mean? That's titillating and funny.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's too close to reality in the news media today. And that's the kind of stuff people actually
think about and orchestrate. And yeah,
to the point where I'm just like, the world is gone to hell. But I don't know. Would you watch this?
I love it.
Okay.
And I miss Jon Stewart. You know, I just started listening to a lot of the old podcasts that I used to. As you know, the Bitcast.fm is taking off. So we have to test a lot of the podcasts, and I'm testing the app daily. And because I need more podcasts to clip and to listen to, I started listening to The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. And it's great. And it has, like, they have Ears Edition, which is free, and we don't have comedy.
He's a South African dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's really good as the new host. But it does, when I listen to it, it does harken back to the time of Jon Stewart. And then I think, like, oh, it's different. And I'm like, but it's not as different as when Jon Stewart took over from Craig Kilborn. I mean, The Daily Show was not at all political when Craig Kilborn did it. You know, it was like a fluff show, like The Soup or something before Jon Stewart took over.
Yeah. I don't know. So maybe me and Anne will hang out while you go to the movie or something. I don't know, whatever. But all right, man. So what you been watching this week?
Well, I think I was kind of leading into it. I have been watching a lot. I watched some more of Mr. Robot's continuing.
Okay.
While I run. So I've mixed up the running with some.
How many seasons is that?
I think it's got 4 or 5 seasons.
And you're watching it on what platform?
I'm watching it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. We get that. So maybe we'll watch that next then after we're done with what I'm talking about.
So yeah, Sam Esmail, the creator of that show, he just loves pop culture, and he's just a super smart guy. So one of the episodes that I've played it for five different people, and I was like, come into my office, check this out, because I can just pull it up, you know, on streaming. And I play the beginning of this episode, and I'll share that this little bit with you. But one of the guys he's smoking a blunt driving through the desert, and he's like talking about the beginning of Knight Rider. And the theme song of Knight Rider.
Yeah, for sure.
And I guess, so his storyline is he's been in jail, and in jail, all he had was old, you know, VHS tapes of old TV shows from the 80s to listen, to watch. So he watched like all of Seinfeld, and now he started a Knight Rider. So he was this like,
Knight Rider.
He's this connoisseur of old television. And then they play the whole instrumental version of the Knight Rider theme over this, you know, over this nice, beautiful shot of him driving through the desert. And I'll save the rest for when you watch it. But it's just this beautiful homage to, you know, television from when we were growing up. So it's a fun thing. And then it's wrapped in a story from, you know, ripped out of the headlines with E Corp, you know. So I was watching that. I tried to watch Sorry to Bother You, which is the movie about the call center guys.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
And I watched like a half an hour of it in bed, and I just, you know, I got the TV in the bedroom for these kinds of things, but it's the bedroom, like you said, it's for sleeping.
Yeah.
So I'm just
biblically
like,
sleeping and sleeping.
So I don't know. It's hard to, if that's what you've been used to for 15 years, to not have a TV in your bedroom, it's a hard habit to kind of kick into. So I didn't finish it. I watched 20.
I don't know if it's a habit you necessarily want to have either.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I'm not losing anything by not watching TV in the bedroom, but we'll see what happens with that. So I didn't finish that.
See, what I see from your motivation is you have two budding teens who are going to be taking over the living room in due time. And you're like, I need to find my safe haven.
Right.
So when they're like taking over whatever shows they're going to watch and whatever they're going to do, I don't want to have to argue with them. I'm just going to retreat to my bedroom. You're going to become the teenager.
I'm going to my room.
That's it, man. You won't let me watch what I want to watch. So Mr. Robot, and then what was you said
sorry to bother you
and anything else?
Tried to do that. I finished up. I rewatched the end of Lost in Space second season.
Ah, okay.
That was pretty good.
Cool.
And then, yeah, lots of podcasts, doing a lot of podcasts.
All right.
How about you?
Yeah, so we spent the week watching The Witcher.
Oh.
On Netflix.
Yeah. Is it good?
Have you seen it?
No, I saw some of the trailers.
Yeah, so we watched The Witcher. First episode, I would say, was pretty awesome.
Uh-huh.
Second episode, oh my God, I was like struggling to stay awake.
You watched it back to back?
No. Nights in a row. Third episode, I was skeptical, but I thought I'll give it one more try. They kept me awake with lots of TNA. The story actually improved. And then after the third episode, I find there's this like, there's two through storylines and one like episodic kind of character storyline. So like, in other words, it seems like there's a couple of characters that have parallel stories going, like, that are through lines.
Okay.
And then there's like these episodic sort of like, you could take it or leave it. They don't really add or take away from the story too much. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll watch a few more. We watched three episodes. I'll watch a few more. I'm not completely sold. If we get to the end of the season, let's say this was the end of the season, I don't think I would come back to a second season.
Okay.
But I'm still open enough to at least get to the end of this season.
Well, you're gonna love it when the Batman, when the Superman suit comes out and he puts the cape on. It's gonna be great.
So, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Does it feel like you're watching Superman?
No. Why would you say that?
Because it's Superman. It's Cavill. What's his name?
Oh, right. Okay, sure, I got you.
He's Jesus and he's Superman.
He's Jesus and he's Superman. So wait a minute. I thought you didn't see this.
I didn't, but I saw trailers for it.
No, I know. I know.
Still know.
But yeah, like I said, you know, they, and then of course, oh, and I called it too. So they have this one, well, spoiler alert coming up here, but.
Oh, let's go for it.
Yeah, spoiler. I'll go for it. So they have this woman who's like kind of the central sorceress, witch type woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has like this, she's like three quarters human, quarter elf. And because of the mixed breed, she has like this humpback and curved spine and thump and like lump in her like cheek kind of a thing.
Gross.
And like she looks horrific and she drools and there's all this stuff. And as the thing is going on, I'm like, you know what, man? Like somehow they're going to like fix this and she's going to be like gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
So of course, it's all magic and stuff. So of course, there's this spell that takes place. They fix her humpback and her like the golf ball in her cheek and they're drooling and all this. And she comes out to this like majestic sort of a ballroom dance thing with the king. And of course she's like gorgeous, like the real actress or whatever. They made her look horrible and now they make her look amazing, you know? And it's like, and she has like these amazing boobs, you know? And and like I said, lots of TNA. But it's one of those things where it's like, you just know, you see her, you're like, oh, she's like, you know, the Quasimodo of this like story.
Right.
And then by the second episode, you're like, okay, they got to do something with her because they're going to make her look amazing. And of course they do. And I don't know, but we'll see. It's intriguing. They left a mini cliffhanger after the third episode. I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on. I like the chivalry and the knights and the magic and stuff. It's kind of Game of Thronesy,
mm-hmm.
you know? I still, like, I've been doing some comparison contrasting between this and Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones blows it out of the water.
But are there fewer characters? Because if there are fewer characters, I might give it a shot.
So far, there's a lot fewer characters, yes.
Okay, good.
Game of Thrones had, like, a freaking ton of characters.
And they all show up in the first two episodes. It's like I watched one episode and I'm like, all right, there can't be this many new characters, and they just keep throwing new characters at you.
So I read the first book. Mm-hmm. And oh my god, like it's so confusing. Like you need to have the book and a notepad and just start like and just start sketching the world as it goes on, because like you can't keep up, man. There's just too much, you know.
Right.
But I would say it's a lot fewer characters and stuff. But I would say overall, anybody who's a Game of Thrones fans out there and they haven't, you know, well, I'm saying it weird. Anybody who's you know, a Game of Thrones fan and they haven't seen this, I would definitely recommend watching it because it's like right in that wheelhouse. So far, there's no...
Fills a void.
Yeah, fills a void. There's no dragons, but you get the magic, you get the witches, you get the... I mean, even some of the witches.
The TNA,
yeah. Even some of the witches, though, like you had the Red Witch in Game of Thrones, and you have witches that are right in that wheelhouse of the Red Witch. I mean, down to how they look even, I would say. And there's other things where, like, you get some characters, they're short-lived, but, like, they look and behave and act like the Hound, you know? And and they're, like, right there, you know? So, but I would... Anybody who's into that kind of stuff, you know, like the fantasy magic, Dungeons and Dragons-y kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, I would say, yeah, go for it. But I don't know. Like, I'll probably still watch it. But at the same time, maybe I'm not as into it because I'm expecting Game of Thrones.
Oh, you have that constantly in the back of your mind. Like,
yeah,
Game of Thrones would have been better here.
Exactly. Exactly. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know, but whatever.
You're spoiled by Game of Thrones.
I'll report back next week. I'll report.
Okay. Yeah. That's the most lukewarm endorsement I've heard.
And I would agree with that. I think it is lukewarm. So, all right, man. I don't know. What else you got? Anything, or are we out of here?
I think that's about it. I think people... So the one thing that people have been telling me to watch that I haven't brought myself to watch is You.
You?
I think that's also on Netflix. You, Y-O-U. And it's about a killer who's like very charismatic, a charismatic killer. And it's kind of along the lines of Dexter, where it's this anti-hero.
Oh, okay.
And he's like a serial killer, but, you know, we're in his head and he's kind of, you know, explaining it. So when you're missing like Walter White and you're missing Dexter.
You, okay. I'll check it out.
Then you fills that void for that. Those kind of anti-hero main characters.
All right, man. Well, hey, you have a good night, and I'll let you know more about The Witcher next week. And hey, have a fun time at Disneyland tomorrow.
I will. Talk to you later.
All right. We'll talk to you, man, later.
See ya.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.